in the beginning of the introduction you said that the student had the right to be considered as human, as a teacher, which implies that humanity is innate and not learned, which contradicts your later thoughts, where you said that the greater purpose of education would be the setting up of a relationship with whether humanity could be learned. Do you think then that humanity is innate, or that it is something we learn?
Both, why not? Nobody thinks that a child of two is a full-grown human being. What I think I said, if I was careful, was that it's important to say that, and remember, that a child is born a person. You want me to say what I mean by that? I mean by that, that human beings, as I said, persons, live, well, shall we say, by reason, for want of a better term. A child can't live except by means of thought, foresight, planning. He can't do it for himself, so somebody else has got to do it for him. If it weren't for that thought, care, rational planning, foresight, he couldn't survive. What he has then got to do, in another sense, it's not that he isn't human, that he isn't a person, but it is that the nature of being human, of being a person, isn't like qualities, like being yellow or red or hard or soft. It's not that kind of thing at all. It is the capacity to learn. Put it just like that. And therefore to grow in that very quality which defines him from the beginning as a person. The capacity is there from the start. It shows itself in his cry for help as soon as he's born. And it goes on because what it consists in is this capacity to share in a life which is already there and is not his own as an individual. To take to himself the tradition, the society into which he is born by living amongst its senior members who live according to it. And by imitation, or by instruction, he learns it. And in the process he becomes more and more like a fully mature human being. Start with, he can't think he. He's got to learn that. He can't even use his senses properly, because we've got to learn to see and hear and things, and at first they don't make sense. But the whole process of human life is this process of sharing more and more fully in the human heritage. And in the process, we become more and more human. That explains the double use that we make of the term human. We say of some human beings that they are completely inhuman, almost beasts. And there we are talking about humanity as something that has this quality of more or less inherently in it. In a sense of a definition, we are all human beings. In the real sense of experience, some of us are much more human than others. And we even meet amongst civilized people with men and women of whom we say, after having met them, that they're hardly human. Both uses of the term are equally correct, and the reason for it is that human beings are like that. You want to treat them as if they were natural objects who have certain qualities, and by these qualities you mean the things that make them human. Well, you're just starting on the wrong foot, because that's not what human beings are like. Human beings don't adapt themselves to nature. They never meet nature nowadays. What you learn as you grow up is not to be independent, but that when you need something, you get some money and you go to the grocer or the baker or whoever provides it. It's not, as it were, adapting yourself to nature at all. And I'm not sure that the biological terminology of adaptation and so on isn't rather misleading. It's not that kind of thing that happens to human beings, because human beings aren't animals with that kind of problem. I think that that's the best answer I can give you, that don't be tricked by language into thinking that because we can say we're human from birth, that we haven't got to learn to be human, since learning is the major part of human life, of being human, and the child starts on it as soon as he's born.